صدق الله العظيم. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من استطاع منكم أن يموت في المدينة فليفعل، فإنه من مات بها كنت له شهيدا أو شفيعا يوم القيامة. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. دور شيخ الله Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home. In the last session of Darsi Hadith, we touched on the biography of the three great companions, Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'in, Hazrat Salman-e Farsi, Hazrat Huzaifa bin Yaman radiyallahu ta'ala, and Hazrat Abdullah bin Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala. All three great companions are resting in one area in the city of Mada'in in Iraq. Alhamdulillah, and I feel that we have completed basically the biography, the main subject which is mentioned in the kitabs with regards to the title and honor that Huzur alayhi salatu was salam has given them. Recently, especially in the media, we have even heard of one other name which is known as Karbala. Karbala again is a very important city in Iraq. Once upon a time it was just an open land, but now, according to the people who have visited Karbala, they say it's a densely populated area and a city which has a lot of Islamic history to it. Allama Hamawi rahmatullah alayhi has said the name Karbala comes from the Arabic word Kurbul or Kurbal, and Kurbal means, that was the name of a special form of grass that was growing in that part of the region. There was no stones. The earth was very, very soft and very, very green. There was a lot of greenery around there. And the grass that was growing in that part of the region was known as Kurbal. And that is why that area is known as Karbala. Karbala is remembered, especially in the Muslim world, those who are Sunni Muslims and also those who are Shias. We have a lot of Shias who go to the city of Karbala and in Iraq and visit a lot of the shrines in Syria, in Iran and in Iraq that are those who are related to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam's family, as in they are the Ahlul Bayt, and they go and visit them. But alhamdulillah, as Sunni Muslims, we also have great love for all the companions, and that includes the Ahlul Bayt, the family members of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Muslims remember Karbala after that horrific tragedy that had taken place in Karbala with the grandson of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hazrat Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala an's shahadat was taken place there. He was shaheed there. Hazrat Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala an's shahadat is no doubt the dark episode of the Islamic history, but nevertheless it is something that was prophesied by Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. And anything that is mentioned by Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam as a prophecy is a great honor given to any individual. Prophecy was given to Hazrat Hussain. Glad tidings were given to prediction for the future events, what will happen with certain people like Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, even that was mentioned. Once Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam was on a mountain and he was accompanied by some of the close companions, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar Farooq and Hazrat Uthman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on top of the mountain. There was this light earthquake that had taken place on that mountain where Huzur alayhi salatu was salam was there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Uthbut, be calm, fa inna alayka nabiyun, for right now on top of you is one prophet, wa siddiqun, and a siddiq, wa shahidan, and two shaheeds. And two shaheeds. So this was the prediction that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave in the time, well before the demise of these companions. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi is myself, and Siddiq. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say about Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq that he will become shaheed. And when it came to Hazrat Umar Farooq and Hazrat Uthman, in the Arabic language it means shaheedani, the two shaheeds. So right now on top of you is a Nabi, a Siddiq, as in Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, and Hazrat Umar Farooq and Hazrat Uthman. So many predictions. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala and Shahadat was also predicted by Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam. It's a tragedy, but again it's a great honor and title also given to these great companions. That is why when Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam was questioned, Ya Rasulallah, to whom does difficulty come in the most severe way? Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the first category of people is Nabi. Al-Anbiya, fal-Anbiya. The hardships they have to face, the difficulty they have to go through. And then Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, fal-Amthal wal-Amthal, and those who follow Anbiya alayhi musallatu wa sallam. So anyone who follows Anbiya alayhi musallatu wa sallam, the prophets, they will have to go through that difficulty. And history shows, my respected brothers, the difficulty that the companions had to go through, the tabi tabi'een, the tabi'een had to go through, awliyaullah had to go through. Like I said, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, death came in the prison. Imam Nasa'i rahmatullah alayhi was made shaheed. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi was forced to leave Uzbekistan. And that is why when the Russians did not honor the great scholars, when I say Russians, according to the indigenous population that lives there. And when you disrespect the Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the azam of Allah comes. Communism came there. Many, many great awliyaullah had to go through difficulty. That is why ulama say that very rarely will you find a Shia that is hafiz of the Quran. Very rarely. You will hardly find a Shia who can be titled as a hafiz of the Quran. Reason being is that they have this evil habits of disrespecting Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in. So that ni'mat is taken away from them. And what Allah gives them in this dunya is that they cry in this dunya and they cry in their graves and they will cry in the hereafter. And for them it's just crying, crying and crying. So when you go to Masjid al-Nabwi, and when you visit Jannatul Baqi, the only people there that are crying are the Shias. Early in the morning, straight after Fajr, you see hundreds of them all there sitting in one area. And what Allah does, they row. And they start to cry. And it has become a fashion or a norm for them. One person chants out something and the other person again. It's like a trance. Everyone goes through that phase and starts to cry. So Al-Anbiya, Fal-Anbiya, and the Ulama, my respected brothers, wherever you go, the scholars, they have to seal their lips wherever they go. Otherwise, like in Muslim countries, they go straight into prison. Sheikh Huzaifi, Maddazillahu al-Ali, the Imam of Masjid al-Nabwi, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for years, when he spoke out against the dignitaries that came from Iran at that time to perform Jummah, and he spoke out against them, the aqaid of Shiism, and what did the Saudi government do? Instead of respecting him that he spoke the truth, what did they do? Well, they didn't imprison him, they couldn't, because of that power that he had. But he was removed, deposed from his position. He was no longer an imam there. But only recently we have heard now he's an imam. And the excuse they give is that it is because of his safety. What do they say? Because of his safety. What safety, my respected brothers? Death comes at any time. Allah says in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Allah will protect you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the people. What is written for you will come to you. That is why Maulana Haq Nawaz Jangwi rahmatullah alayhi, at the end of his bayans, he would conclude his bayans with this incredible shayri which I love to quote. He would say, فَنَا فِي اللَّهِ كِي تَحْنَ بَقَا كَا رَاز مُزْمَرْ هَا فَنَا فِي اللَّهِ كِي تَحْنَ بَقَا كَا رَاز مُزْمَرْ هَا جسے مرنا نہیں آتا اسے جینا نہیں آتا. If you don't know how to die, then how? You don't know how to live. If you don't know how to die, then you don't know how to live. استعد للموت قبل الموت. حضور علیہ السلام said, prepare for your death before the time of death. And this is the difference between a mu'min and that who does not share the kalima with us. Subhanallah al-Azim. And we Muslims are suffering today. Suffering today. Alhamdulillah, we should be happy that we have at least now got a few Muslim counselors. We should have been doing this a long time ago. We should be doing our homework long time back. 10-15 years ago when other communities were well awake and now they are well established in the post. We should have been doing that long time ago. And even now, alhamdulillah, when we talk to the brothers that no, make sure everyone goes out to vote, we get this incredible people who say, voting is haram. Come on. If you are unemployed, you want to take dol money. That is halal. When you want to go for Hajj and Umrah, you want to surrender your British passport. So that is halal. But voting is haram. So when you're on the motorway, how fast are you supposed to go? It is 70. So you're only supposed to go 70 miles per hour. And when he sees the camera, wait, I have to stop. So 80 say brake marta is 70. Huh? But voting is haram, but we will respect all the British laws. But no, as Muslims, how? Maulana Dawood Sahab was stopped when he went to vote. As an imam, how can you vote? Okay? Brothers, Mufti Shafi Sahab has written a book, Jawahir al-Fiqh, the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, whose son, a great intellectual person, mashallah, Mufti Taqi, his father, Mufti Rafi and Mufti Taqi's father, has written that if you live in a Muslim country, what is the position of voting? And if you live in a non-Muslim country, a country, for an example, Europe or England, where Islamic law is not implemented, where is Islamic law implemented anyway? So what is the status of voting? And in there he has said that you must go and vote. And that is how we show our power and strength, my brothers. We have to respect the law of this country and beat the system by their own laws. Get to that position. And inshallah ta'ala, maybe when you get to that position, who knows, Allah will give them hidayat. Allah will change their hearts. We have brother Abdullah sitting here. What is his background? What was his background? Our background, our forefathers were all Hindus. Was it not the companions? If the companion says no, look and read the seerah of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Yet with his great personality, he had good relationship with neighboring countries. Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala is a classic example. Were they not aware of the hadith and the ayats of the Quran? SubhanAllah. And just today, after Asr Salat, this young boy came and he says, oh, Maulana, you know, I'd love to stop people from voting. And I says, well, you know, you shouldn't do that. Very politely, I said to him, I even took them yesterday in the office and I said to them, brothers, look, if that is your opinion, we respect it. But it is not the opinion of the majority of the people who come in this masjid or go in any masajid. Everybody votes. No, but this and that, it is in the Quran. It is in the Quran. It's incredible. So I said to him, my brother, can you tell me which finger you have to use when you go for istinja? So he looked at me. That I don't know. That I don't know. I'm sorry, my brother, I'm being very, very blunt. Because here, we don't know important issues on hygiene, what is farz and what is sunnah and what is wajib. And you're talking on masail about voting. That is the duty of a mufti, a grand mufti, to sort out things. And here we have youths talking about, and slightly influenced with Omar Bakri, and that is it, Sheikh Omar Bakri. Subhanallah. Well, whatever he is, we respect everyone, and they are all our Muslim brothers. But that is not how you tackle the situation. And he has the audacity to say that, Mauli Sahab, when is the last time you ever spoke the truth about Iraq? The person never sits in the bayan, but yet want to talk and put fingers that the Fala Admi has not talked about that subject. And I said to him, I said, brother, alhamdulillah, I have always talked about Iraq. We have been praying kunut and azila in Masjid Umar after Fajr. How many mosques have been doing that? We have always been out there. When Afghanistan was attacked, Maulana Yahya Sabu performed Tarawih here, would always make dua 15-20 minutes and he would cry and make dua. Oh, so what are you talking about? We haven't spoken. Subhanallah, Musalman ki halat par bada afsos, mere azizo, bada afsos. This is our problem. They don't want to sit, they don't want to listen, they want to go around making fitna, and this is all from the shaitan. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. That is why Mawlana Hussain Madni rahmatullah alayhi was saying that the damage Muslims have caused to Islam, even the kuffar have not damaged Islam in that way. Jo fitna musalmanon ne uthaya hai Islam ke khilaf, wo fitna غیر مسلم لوگوں نے بھی نہیں اٹھایا ہے اسلام کی طرف. اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی give us the توفیق. My brother, stay with the opinion of the majority, اہل السنہ والجماعت, majority. Even when we speak, we don't speak from our own impulse or what is our own idea. We go to our great scholars who are more greater in taqwa and in every way, and read their books, and alhamdulillah after that bring it out to the people. There was a reason when Muslims were in India, there is a reason for it. Some of the ulama gave fatwa that it is haram for you to speak English. But yet if those great scholars who have passed away were alive now and had seen that 2.5 million Muslims are living in England, and every week there is a new masjid, mashallah, being built, or an ibadat khana or a musalla, they would have no choice but to change the opinion about this English language. Masail change, my brothers. Masail change all the time. So 10 years ago, what affected the Muslims is completely different to the Muslims of today, the young generation that is growing. Alhamdulillah, we have to go into the system if we want to see the Muslims to be successful in the future. Otherwise it will be difficult all the time. Otherwise ek masjid ki planning ki bhi aapko permission nahi milegi. The difficulty that people go through. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. I am saying that, not that I want to criticize anyone, not that I have mentioned anybody's name, but yet alhamdulillah we have a lot of youth and youngsters that are here, and when they go back to universities and their college, and there is always this issue that can we vote, or should we not vote. Alhamdulillah, there are so many scholars here in Leicester. You can go to them and they will give you evidence in the light of the Quran and in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one will be satisfied. This is basically a brief history of Karbala. Muslim historians have said that the body of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu is buried in Karbala. That is the opinion of majority of the mu'arrikhin, as in Muslim historians. Though some of them have said that no, Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala is not in Karbala. majority of them have said, no, there is evidence Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala is resting in Karbala. That is why we have a lot of people, Sunni Muslim as well as Shia, going there, giving salam to whatever it is, their shrine or whatever, in the area where Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala is resting. But when it comes to the auspicious head of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, again, this is the Islamic history. Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu was salam, same thing. Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu was salam, same thing. Body was cut half, two pieces. Nabi Yahya alayhi salatu was salam's Sar Mubarak was decapitated. Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu was salam's auspicious head was decapitated and later on taken to Yazid, who was based in Syria at that time, in Dimashq, as proof that Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala has been assassinated and is no longer alive, as proof to Yazid. It is said that the auspicious head of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala is somewhere in Dimashq, but as far as the body is concerned, the body of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala is in Karbala. And we can continue on the subject of Iraq for a long period of time. But alhamdulillah, I feel that in the 5 or 6 sessions of Dars-e Hadith, important aspects of Syria have all been covered. There are many great companions resting there, and many, many awliyaullah that are resting there. From the cities of Iraq, I want to go to the city of light. We have talked about, alhamdulillah, the history of Syria, and we have talked about the history of Iraq. I want to talk about the history of that city which is safeguarded and protected in such a way. Allahu Akbar. And that city is protected not by the United Nations, but protected by the angels. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that every house in Madinatul Munawwara is protected by an angel. An angel is on the rooftop of that house in Madinatul Munawwara, all the houses, with a sword, making sure that the Dajjal does not trespass, does not cross the boundary, the hudud of Madinatul Munawwara, and he does not enter the city of light, Madinatul Munawwara. What a beautiful city, and how it is safeguarded, my respected brothers. Subhanallah al-Azim. Evil cannot come close to that city where Huzur alayhi salatu was salam is resting. Incredible city, my respected brothers. The hadith read out to you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, من استطاع منكم أن يموت في المدينة فليفعل فإنه من مات بها كنت له شهيدا أو شفيعا يوم القيامة. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that if any one of you can cause your death to come in the city of Madinatul Munawwara, then let your death come in Madinatul Munawwara. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ مَاتَ بِهَا, for anyone who dies in the city of Madinatul Munawwara, كُنْتُ لَهُ شَهِيدًا, I am a shaheed as a witness on behalf of that individual. أَوْ شَفِيعًا, or otherwise I will definitely intercede for that individual on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all death in the condition of Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that tawfiq that we go for Umrah and we make salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when the time is right and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us, He is razi with us, then the ruh comes out in the city of Madinatul Munawwara. But we have to be prepared for that. We have to be prepared. It's not easy. I don't know if I have told you once, I had a friend when we first went for Umrah, and he said to me, oh, only if my death came to Madinatul Munawwara. And he went for sajda in his salat, he couldn't breathe. So he said that, in my sajda, I said to Allah, Allah Pak, not just yet, I'm so young. You see, I said, Allah Pak, not just yet, I'm so young. And he thought, everything's going to end there. So, Allahu Akbar, you have to have that very high level of iman to be prepared for that. And he was there saying, only if my death came there. And when he went for Zuhr Salat, perhaps it was too hot. And even for Sajda, he couldn't breathe. I was praying namaz next to me. He was breathless. I said to him, are you okay? He says to me, oh, I thought I was going to go today. I said, well, that's what you wanted. He says, no, I changed my mind in Sajda. Allahu Akbar. This is the beautiful city, Madinatul Munawwara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all there, all the time, inshaAllah ta'ala, and that we have love for that city. We are connected to Madinatul Munawwara. Before we go into the history of this beautiful city, Madinatul Munawwara, there are a lot of issues one can touch and start on the history of Madinatul Munawwara. It's a vast subject. Where do you start from? Do you start from the Hijrat and then go back to Madinatul Munawwara? Where do you start from? I feel that we should go straight into the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mosque of, it's been rubbed out, some areas, the mosque of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is basically the main section of the masjid of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the main part, the main hall that was there during the time of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What I want to say to the brothers is that alhamdulillah, these are what you see on the left hand side, some boxes here, rectangles. These are the hujurat, the rooms of Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam. What is hujurat? The word hujurat is also mentioned in the Quran. Inna alladhina yunadunaka min wara'i al-hujurati aktharuhum la ya'qilun. Thaketani? Not tired, no? Otherwise we can start this whole session next week. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. The word hujurat is mentioned in the Arabic language. Hujurat is the plural of hujra. That is the plural. And hujurat basically means an ordinary cottage. An ordinary cottage or a hut. One of the surahs in the Quran is Suratul Hujurat. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. The name of Surah Al-Hujurat that is given to that surah is due to the fact that people realize how simple Abu Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, the simplicity of his life, that in his entire life he lived in an ordinary cottage or a hut. A hut. What is a hujra? How was the hujra of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Hazrat Hassan al-Bisri rahmatullah alayhi would say that when I was young, not baligh, didn't reach the age of puberty, I would often go and visit the hujra, the chambers, the rooms of Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam. And at that time I was very young. He must be maybe 9 or 10 years of age. And he would say that if I was to lift up my hands, I would touch the ceiling of the hujra. SubhanAllah. That is how simple. It only consisted of one tiny room and one tiny backyard. And even the backyard was covered with the branches of palm trees. A very, very simple room. So simple that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would say that in the night when Huzur alayhi salatu was salam would perform tahajjud salat, when he went for sajda, he would just touch me on the leg side, and I would understand that now Huzur alayhi salatu was salam wants to perform sajda, so I would turn my legs away so he would have that proper space to perform sajda. Imagine how simple that room must be. That on one side Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is resting. On the other side, Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam wants to perform salat. When he stands up for salat, when he goes for sajda, he has to touch slightly a nudge. And this is nawafil salat, not farz. Huh? This is nawafil, tahajjud is nawafil, not farz. Nobody should say, right, okay, in first salat, you start to touch someone. Aisa masla nahi hai, koi masla na nikale. We have to be so careful in your quoting anything. You're talking about, this is nafal salat. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would understand. This is the simplicity of the house. Some of the companions would say that we would never want to bring down or demolish any of the chambers of Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam, and we would wish that it would remain there until the day of Qiyamah so that the Muslims could take a lesson and see how simple Aap sallallahu alayhi wasallam was and how he was living. He spent his entire life, his last 10 years in these huts, Something so basic. It is said that when he came to Madinatul Munawwara, my respected brothers, when he constructed the masjid with the companions, with the masjid, he built two huts, or two ordinary cottages, or two chambers, for his two wives at that time that were with Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam when they migrated, when they came for Hijrat. Remember, Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra was in Makkatul Mukarrama, and she passed away in Makkatul Mukarrama, and she is resting in Jannatul Mu'alla. So with the masjid, the first chamber, first room that was made was the room of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the second room was Hazrat Sauda radiallahu ta'ala. These are the first two hujurat rooms built inside Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first wife of Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam was Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra. All the children come from Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra. The second wife of Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam was Hazrat Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha. Again, she was very old in age. She is one lady who made hijrah twice to Habasha, and her husband was Hazrat Sakran bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala an, who again was one of the earliest Muslims, the very first people to take Shahada on the hands of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. He passed away. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave her the full support and married Hazrat Sauda radiallahu ta'ala an. So this is the first room. And the second room that was built was the room of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. When Hazrat Sauda radiallahu, because Hazrat Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha was old in age, she gave her turn to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she also made a will that when, if I was to die, when I pass away from this world, then my room entirely must be gifted to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And this is what exactly had happened. When Hazrat Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away, this entire chamber became the chamber of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And it is in this chamber, my respected brothers, that until today Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam is resting here on this side. See? On this side. And next to Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam is Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and on this side is Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and the green dome that we see on the pictures is exactly under, on the top, or the green dome is absolutely facing the auspicious face of Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam and the two companions of Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam. And there is one more space that is here. It's one more space. Everything is limited, my respected brothers. Even this street here, which is known as Habsha Street, Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha's room is here. There was a street here in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This street was so small and so tight that only one individual could walk past. It is said that Hazrat Aisha would often communicate with Hazrat Hafsa whilst both of them were in their rooms. So where we the Muslimin give salatu wa salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam today, when we walk past that area, that chamber, we are also walking through the room of Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala. So half the room is outside and half the room is inside. Half the room of Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala is now inside that sealed area where all of us give salatu wassalam, and half of it is outside. So when we are actually walking past, we are walking through the house of Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala. Insha'Allah ta'ala, if Allah wills, we will continue with the history of Masjid Nabwi and all the chambers, all the rooms, all the huts of Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam, and all the doors and all the other companions that are resting and where they were situated in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Inshallah, if Allah wills, in the next session. Dua kare Allah Pak musalmanon ki madad kare aur musalman ek ho jaye. We have unity amongst us. Durushayb Allah. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.